You're listening to the Inside North Central Massachusetts podcast, sponsored by Franklin Professional Associates, excellence in staffing and recruiting, and supported by regional leaders like Enterprise Bank, helping people and businesses create success.
Hello and welcome to the Inside North Central Massachusetts podcast, Cat Deal. And I am on the road with our series today over at Good Earth Farm and Garden Center, located at 633 West Broadway in Gardner, Mass. And I have both Jackie and ML out to belly, who are here, co-owners of the building and the business. And I just want to say thank you for letting me come and providing such a great space for me to be here today.
Thank you for coming.
Well, thanks for coming.
Yeah. So I've lived in Gardner for over 20 years and have been visiting this establishment prior to Good Earth for all of those over 20 years that I've lived here. And a lot of people recognize this as the Agway business that was here for a very long time. And I know that the rebranding took place.
We actually put the sign up in April.
In April. So it's been so
our
recent.
Grand opening. We bought it in September of 22.
Yeah, we're coming up on the 18 month.
That's amazing. March 13th. That's amazing. So I'm just curious if you, for those of you who are listening, if you pull up, you still see the Agway sign on the side of the building.
Yes, you do.
It's very recognizable. If you live in Gardner, you've seen it your whole life probably. And I know that there's, you know, a little bit of history with the building. Can we start there a little bit about the history of the business and you guys taking it over?
Sure. Why not?
So, like you, I've shopped here for my entire professional life. And so I've known Al and Lisa for 35 years and worked fairly closely with Lisa trying to bring in some of the organic amendments that were critical to my business. So I knew they were trying to sell. And I thought the region really shouldn't lose the asset that the Agway was. So my original thought was to find somebody else to buy it. And that was definitely the original intent.
I don't think that worked.
No, it didn't. It totally didn't. But then the conversation within the family developed into, well, why shouldn't we be the ones to take it on? So that's in an encapsulated version is how we got to September 13th. 2022, signing papers.
Which must have been a pretty exciting day to say something that you've really loved and used is now going to be entrusted to you.
Honestly, it was a bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
It had been a long time coming because we started the process in February.
Yep.
And it took that long to finally get all the ducks in a row between all the different parties and get it straight. And we didn't even, we closed for the day.
We closed for one day.
We closed for one day. That
was one day. That's all you gave yourself.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And came in the next day and started working. And the most time we've taken off and closed the store was when we did inventory and changed POS systems. Yeah. And
that was in January of this year.
That was one whole day we took off. You know, it's been a lot getting it from there to here.
It's been an 18-month run.
Yeah.
Of unrelenting level of pushing forward. And we had to do a lot of cleanup. We've had to do a lot of patching. You know, it's a 38-year-old building. So there's been a lot of cleanup. But we are now clean from boundary to boundary, boundary to boundary. And so all of that isn't 100% functional yet. It will be by the end of this year.
That's great.
Wait a minute. What do you mean by all of that will be 100% functional? Let's talk about
this. ML has some big plans today.
That's the thing. They're huge and they keep growing.
I just wanted the edges back.
Let's talk about the property because I know that you've expanded the footprint of the business.
Right.
So on all the property, I know in the back that you guys have begun and you already created a space for education. And that's new.
That's completely new. So is the one we're in right now.
And so is this. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, you take over any business, there's going to be a lot of stuff that has to get done. Right. I mean, it doesn't matter because you're going to make it your own. Right. Like moving into a new house, you're going to repaint it and you're going to, you know, strip the walls and the floors and do whatever. So a lot of that probably had to happen. But you also really changed the business model.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think either one of us came into this thinking we wanted the status quo.
Right.
That is a true statement.
Yeah.
It was more about, it's going to sound trite, it was more about what we could do for other people.
Yeah.
So it was about what we could do for farmers, the possibilities of, you know, selling by the pallet or figuring out how to deliver to them or trying to get them better prices on things, trying to get better quality stuff in here.
Yep.
And it was about, I hate to say it this way, better gardening.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I've been gardening professionally for my entire adult life.
Right, because you have a farmer's background.
I have a farm background. I have a fine garden landscape business and had for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew what was in the region and what wasn't in the region.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been teaching for that entire length of time in various and sundry venues. So it made sense once we took over this to bring all that here. Hence,
yeah.
You're sitting in the classroom right now.
I know.
And then there's the outside training spaces. So outside, we have a miniature version of a permaculture garden, a miniature hugelkultur, and on the other side, granted only about 10 feet away, is a start to a native plants garden. So we have some of the shrubs going in. I have perennials planned in there for this year. So those are here.
Yeah.
We have fruit trees that are going in, so we can teach people in a couple of years how to prune them. Definitely start teaching them how to manage them, because that's one of the things that people have, between COVID and just the culture at large, people want to have some control over their own food supply, and they don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Straight across the board.
You know, it's interesting because I feel like you guys really brought a very different perspective to the business and to what you wanted to do. You noticed what was missing and you noticed what needed to be filled. So I want to just say, though, that the store does still remain a pet store. It does still have a large variety and selection of pet supplies. It does have all of the gardening. We're looking at the canning supplies. But can you guys talk a little bit about what you brought in on top of the education? Because we're definitely going to talk about some of the events you guys got coming up.
Well, we brought in a bunch of local stuff.
Yeah.
That's
honestly,
the story to tell.
The local vendors, a lot of them ML knew from the farmers market, which in Westminster, which you ran for years.
Still do.
but so that started the list of people to bring in local vendors. And then frankly, little by little, they've just started showing up. So that somebody will show up one day with wooden wind spinners. It's a guy that puts together these fantastic wooden wind spinners where each piece is like half an inch by a half an inch by 6 inches long or 4 inches long. And he builds these gorgeous, you know, handmade wind spinners. His name's Mike. He came in one day and he was like, "Do you want to buy these?" And ML kind of, and I kind of looked at each other and we were like, hell yeah.
For other people?
Well, I think some of them have gone out to our old clients.
One went out to a client.
But so little by little, people, the word's gotten out.
Mm-hmm.
And people come in with their stuff, or you meet up with somebody, or I like going into stores like this. So I'll drive around and go into other stores and see what they've got. And frankly, at that point, if I see stuff, and they're not in our neighborhood, if I see stuff they don't have that I think would go, I'm like, hey, all these people.
That's real partnership.
You know, you might like, this stuff might fit really well in your store, you know. So it's been coming in pieces. And then we did other kind of fun little gifts, the holiday gifts. We were in Country Roads last year and brought in those little felt mice that I
Who
love
knew?
So much.
Felt mice are a thing.
Huge thing, huh?
Well, now we have ones for Easter and for spring with mushroom, like we have mushroom mice now, and we have bunny mice.
Yep.
Oh.
And they're really cute. Yeah, so we've got one of the partners, because it's six family members.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is really had her own little gift store at Cider Mill, and she closed that and kind of brought a bunch of her stuff over here, and she's been mainly in charge of the what we call the gift section.
Mm-hmm. Was that something you guys had planned on doing, was bringing in local
bringing
partners?
Bringing in local from the very beginning?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The way it's evolved, it's evolved way faster than we thought it would. And it's been a absolutely steady. People come in to look all the time. And so
it's fun.
It's fun. And right now it's got two key pieces in the store, and they will stay as a year-round. During the holidays, obviously, we took all of Long Branch, and it'll expand back, and it'll flux in and out. But no, it's expanded much faster than I thought it would, and there's been much more interest and sustained interest than I thought there would be.
Well, that's great, because that's an amazing model to be a brick and mortar for some folks that don't have a brick and mortar, but they have an artistic talent and a real skill, and are bringing products that are, you know, I just noticed we were walking in. I was bringing all the equipment in, and I stopped. I'm like, oh, my God, you guys have leather wallets now. When did this happen? Like, I come
nice,
in every time. They're beautiful, but every time I come in, there's, like, a new artisan who you are helping support. And that's a great partnership for the community.
One of the other things is they aren't here on consignment. There isn't a single vendor here who's on consignment. Every single one of them, we buy the product.
So we're taking it. Yeah, we're taking the shot.
That's amazing.
That's one
that's
of the.
That's
none
a different model. No, that's a very different model
right.
and a way to be even more supportive of the local
Correct.
Artists and designers in our region.
Right.
But I don't know if you've seen the funky birdhouses we have, the ones that are made from old oak boards.
Oh.
There's a young kid that came in one day, 16-year-old. Well, he was 16 at the time. He's 17 now. Came in and he was like, would you buy my birdhouses? And I took a look at them and they're rustic. They're really rustic.
Yeah.
But he's a great kid. He had the initiative on his own to come in. And we've been, and you know, you're not making huge money on that kind of stuff, but it's worth it. It's community,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's about helping out the next guy.
And he helped us out because we needed platform feeders. And what was available in the trade. Yeah, sorry, it's a kind of bird feeder.
Okay.
And what was available in the trade was not something particularly whatever. Anyways.
It didn't fit with what you already
yeah,
had going.
They were junk.
Yeah.
And so.
That's okay to say.
Well, okay, I know, but.
That's okay.
And so I talked to Keith about could he make them? And he did. And they weren't quite right. And I said, well, can you do this? And he took all of them back, fixed them. They are now really decent platform feeders.
That's great.
Which if you're doing bluebirds, which so many people are because the bluebirds never left this year, and if you're putting out mealworms, you need to have the mealworms under cover, but there has to be a certain amount of clearance for the bluebird to be able to go in and get it and then move on. And so that's what a platform feeder is for. And so we now have really funky, locally built platform feeders.
That are going to last through the apocalypse
because probably because he has made them
he's made them to be. And we'll be right back with ML and Jackie over at 633 West Broadway Street in Gardner at the Good Earth Farm and Garden Center.
Do you have the right high quality employees to successfully compete and grow your business? Franklin Professional Associates team of recruiters in Leominster is here to help you hire the best so you can be your best. Visit franklinprofessionals.com today.
And we are back over at the Good Earth Farm and Garden Center with ML and Jackie Outbelly, the co-owners of the store. First off, let's just back up a minute because all of what you just talked about is the type of education that you guys provide. I've been in here multiple times and I can stand around your register and I can listen to all of the information that your staff has that they impart upon the community. And I know that that's, you know, that sharing of information is really important because a lot of people are growing. The pandemic really made people be like, I am going to get my own food source. I am going to have chickens. I am going to have a garden this year. And, you know, that's not the easiest thing to do when you're starting from scratch, right? No pun intended. But it's important to provide that as well. And I think that that's a really great thing that you have brought to the community and the community at large, not just for Gardner, is you're imparting your information.
Yes. Honestly, I would say a lot of that information is coming from here down.
Yeah.
I mean, ML is, first of all, she's brilliant. Second of all, she's got 40 years of experience in what works and what doesn't in North Central Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she knows what the soil is actually made of here and what will work and what doesn't work. And the fact that she's farmed for most of her life and had goats and horses and ducks and God knows what else, lions and tigers and bears.
Oh my.
But makes a huge difference. So
yeah.
Frankly, people come in with dog problems and goat problems and chicken problems and duck problems.
We can usually troubleshoot it.
And she's an amazing troubleshooter.
What you know, great asset.
Yeah.
But we're also investing in the staff. So we have staff training every week, bringing them on board and making sure they have access to information. There's a lot of it. They're not getting tested. They're not being forced to get any of it and regurgitate it back. But bit by bit by bit, they are coming up online too. And this year when we bring in the side yard people, which is all the people for the plants, they will also be in a training program. Every one of them who's coming on knows that's going to happen to them.
That's great. What an amazing thing to offer your staff.
Well, and they like it too.
They like it, and then they can be assets to the community as well. So that's the whole point, is to keep the information flow going out.
That's wonderful. Because that's not always everybody's business model, right? So the idea that you are just trying to truly become community partners and be community assets is a great way for you to have spent your last 18 months working on this business. And I think the word is getting out that there is definitely more happening here. I saw that several of your education programs during the winter sold out. That's a wonderful way to meter how you're doing and how the community is being receptive, is that those kinds of programming, as an event person, it's not always easy. And so to see that you were selling out on events is great. And have you seen an increase in the interest of more events that are coming up?
I would say, yeah.
Yeah. We have, as you mentioned earlier, we have the poultry one coming up. And that's a very good mix of a backyard flock manager. But she has been doing poultry her entire life. This is her thing. She is all into, she's a teacher at Gardner. She's in the education system.
Yeah.
And she's engaged in getting good chicken information out to all the other backyard flock growers. And Sarah, who is our Poulin rep, is coming down with the real deal on quality feeds and what they mean when you go from starter to grower to layer.
Right.
And it matters.
Poulin is a grain distributor.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Baseball.
Yeah. That's okay. That's
And it's New England based. So here's the funny thing. The reason we decided to go for Poulin as opposed to Blue Seal, both are available in the region, there's no question. Blue Seal is national, and their formulas are national. Poulin is Vermont, and they care about the six New England plus New York. They're expanding further south. I don't care where they're expanding. The point is they are very cognizant of the New England soils. They test the hay from all across the region, and they adapt their mineral component in their grains to match the deteriorating quality of the hay. That's true in their forage extenders. That's true in all of their grains, especially for the horses and the dairy cows. Now, we don't have much dairy in the region. We have more goats than we have cows, but it doesn't really matter because the quality of the concept of getting the minerals to match the deterioration of the baseline feed is really important, even if people don't know about it.
You know, for the 2.5 years that we had chickens, we definitely came here. We definitely got all of our supplies, you know, locally. But to know that you are taking such care and conscientious decision making with the products that you're presenting for the public, and that you're being that way, that just really speaks highly of the decisions that you're making in terms of, again, being in the community and wanting to make the best impact you can on the community. And those are great, thoughtful, conscientious decisions that you're making.
Doing the best we can. Yeah. It depends on what you can actually access through all the distributors that are out there. And we've just brought in a whole series of lines. Mike King, who used to own Emerald City in Westminster, is working with us temporarily. So he closed in November, and we're bringing in 4 or 5 of the lines that he found to be most critical to his people, partly because he doesn't want it to be lost from the region for his. He's happy to be moving on to other things, but he is also happy not to have his customers footloose.
Abandoned.
And, yeah, right. Basically. I was trying not to use that word, but yeah, basically abandoned in the region. So we're picking up all of that. We're also going to pick up some other lines that I know of that will provide an enormous benefit to health for root systems and shoot systems, i.e. the leaf systems on plants. And so for all the fact we had side yard plants last year and it rained like a freight train of rain, we never had to spray a fungicide out there. I managed it all with sprays to keep the leaves healthy. So instead of going after a killing agent, you go after a growing agent. And all of those are going to come into the store this year.
That's amazing additions to your lineup of products. I'm just looking around thinking, well, first, I don't know where you're going to put it. You guys have so much great product in here right now. I don't know where you're putting that stuff. But
wait till the spring stuff comes in.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about some spring stuff, because I know my listeners are going to want to say, when are the chickens coming? When are the babies coming?
March 27th, I think, is the first date they come in. Oh. And honestly, I can't wait either, because they are the most fun little darling things.
They really are.
But I've got to tell you, that first year for me was difficult because the first load comes in, and the ones that come in March, it's hard on them. You know, it's hard to, you know, you get hatched, you get thrown in a box, you get mailed. It's pretty miserable. And they come in, and there was a couple that just didn't make it. Mm-hmm. And I had them in the office with me with heat lights, and I'm drip feeding them from little droppers. And Emma was like, this is going to happen. And I just went to the bathroom and cried for 10 minutes. I was like, no. I brought two of them home that needed help. One had like a bum leg. And it's a little, you get too attached.
You get very attached.
But I love them.
And they're amazing.
We're having ducks this year, too.
Guinea hens.
Ooh.
Guinea hens,
yes.
Look so weird to me. They look like they have an eye on here and here.
But you can find them here at Good Earth Farm Center.
Also, one of the things that we take a great deal of care with is when the babes arrive, when the chicks arrive, their first introduction here is to water with hydrohen in it, which is, it has the sugars and it has the probiotics. So from the very beginning, we're getting their insides back into a healthy state. They go onto the pool and chick starter, and I work Azomite into that chick starter, which gives them the micro minerals right on top of it too.
So our chicks are not tossed into a
They are not
into a brooder and left to fend for themselves.
They are definitely not. They are very well cared for, as are all the plants that you have as well, and that all the everything that you bring in. It sounds like you're doing with such great care, and that really does just go right back to your idea that, you know, you're here to make the community better that you're a part of. And that's an amazing way to do it, is to make sure that the people are educated and that you have products that they need and that they're being cared for. It's really important.
It is. It's very easy in a disposable society, which is what we have, to think that absolutely everything is disposable. And our goal is to eliminate that from the model.
That's great. That's a good thing.
As much as possible.
Right.
And to be honest, we have a pretty great staff here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we have an excellent staff.
100%.
Oh,
yeah. There's a lot of people with a lot of knowledge about a lot of different things who've helped us in areas I didn't even know we were going to need help in. So that's been terrific, too.
I love that.
Yeah.
So I do want to talk a little bit about your event on March 23rd. It's from 1 to 2:30, and it's right here.
Yep.
Call the store to sign up.
Yeah, we're not that far.
What made you want to do that? What made you say, you know, part of our business model is going to be to bring people in to have events and teach?
Always part of the model.
It was always part of it, because I ran the classes that were here from before when Lisa and Al were running the store for the last, I went back and looked, it's about 8 years worth of workshops here.
That's
so
great.
There wasn't any reason not to continue that. And I literally have done programming and teaching all sorts of topics. Tonight I'm going to be at the Gardner Library talking about pollinators and pollinator corridors, and how it's possible to possibly knit the towns around us into a pollinator corridor pathway concept.
Wow.
So that's, it's what you do. Yeah. At least it's what I do.
Yeah.
So
that's great that you're still sharing all of that with the community.
So I'm not sure they know what's going to hit them, but that's about what's going to hit them.
The mind is a terrible thing to waste.
That would be precisely the case.
So for all the people listening out there, I know that they can find you over here at 633 West Broadway. But what other ways that can they contact you guys, and where can they find out more information about you?
Well, our website's actually getting much more fluid.
Yep. And we're about to add a whole bunch of more information to it.
Yeah. So that's one spot. They can honestly, we love when people come in, and honestly, we love when they bring their pets.
So what is the website?
www.thegoodearthfgc.com.
All right. And what are your store hours now that spring is around the corner?
Oh.
Uh-oh.
8:30 to 5:30 Monday to Friday, 8:30 to 4 on Saturday. And then in spring, we haven't picked the date yet that we're starting to open.
But it'll be end of April through May and June. We'll be open on Sundays.
10 to 2. Okay.
Say it like you mean it.
Say it like you mean
You're going to be here alone from from 2 to 4.
Come visit ML on Sunday.
From 2 to 4.
From 2 to 4, because she'll be by herself.
I will not be here. Oh, my God.
Well, the best way to do it is probably to check online to make sure of what the hours are. And I just want to say, ML and Jackie, thank you so much for allowing me to come in and take some time away from your busy day.
Thank you.
And for the great conversation.
It was great chatting.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. And we will be back next Friday with an all-new episode.
You've been listening to Inside North Central Massachusetts. This podcast is produced by the North Central Massachusetts Chamber of Commerce. For more information on this episode, links to other episodes, or if you have any questions, please visit northcentralmass.com.